Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Mid-Delta Auction Company is holding a fall online-only auction Tuesday, October 8th. Register today at www.mdauction.com for the October 8th online auction. Bidding is open now, and lots begin closing at 10 a.m. Tuesday, October 8th. View auction items online at www.mdauction.com.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in, everybody, on this Tuesday night. A thunderstorm is brewing right now in the background. So if for some reason we lose power, just know that that's why. So for whatever reason, the stream drops, I'm just... lightning struck the house, and that's it. But I'm glad you guys are here again on this Tuesday night, kind of a stormy Tuesday night. And we've got a lot to talk about today and this week. It finally has gotten real for Ole Miss. It has finally gotten real, and this is obviously every game's important. Welcome to college football and SEC football. This is such a fascinating game. In my opinion, and in all of yours, of course. I know you guys are excited about it, as is the team. But we are finally going to have definitive knowledge about this football team in some aspects. Not every aspect. We'll talk about that. But instead of qualifiers and considering opponents and quality of competition, et cetera, finally, this week, for Ole Miss, we will actually get to learn something definitive. I'm very excited about that and excited to talk to you guys about that on this edition of the Rebel Report. Again, my name is Michael Borky. I really appreciate you being here. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get them. Search Rebel Report, Spotify, Apple, wherever, and subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. Also, don't forget to, if you're listening or watching on YouTube, to like the video and subscribe to the channel. Leave a comment as well. I read those and I appreciate those. And this edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered for all of your personal injury, small business, or contract disputes. He's in Saltillo, Mississippi, but he can cover you anywhere in this great state. I say it all the time. It's true. I hope you never have to use his services. I hope you don't get hurt. I hope everything involved in your small business moves swimmingly. However, it does happen. And if it does happen to you, you don't want to be left in the cold. Save this number. Know who to call when something like this could happen to you. 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, for all of your personal injuries, small business matters, and contract disputes, presenting the Rebel Report. So, obviously, you know, all the cliches, let's just throw them out. The price of poker goes up this week. You know, that's what happens here. But I am very excited to watch this football game and figure out exactly what Ole Miss has in a couple of areas. Kentucky, clearly, by far, not even close, the best team that Ole Miss has played this year. Yes, I am aware that they are still a three-score favorite at home. But Kentucky has NFL players, especially on the lines of scrimmage, and especially on defense, where there's a first-round possible defensive tackle hanging out on the other side of the ball for Kentucky. So, finally, Ole Miss is going to be tested. They're going to be challenged. This is a team that, on the other side of the field, can actually beat them. And I think that, as we talked about after the Georgia Southern game, there was kind of an air of boredom around the team, and it felt like they were kind of rejuvenated to start this week to actually – you know, play against somebody that can be competitive against them. This is Ole Miss's first test of the season. Especially what I'm especially focused on, aside from this free space, which is injuries. Injuries are a free space. Is Jared Ivey back and available? If not, who plays in his stead? I know Pegues continued to play in the game, but, you know, because social media is a thing, there was a social media post that showed him in a sling. It's precautionary or just to protect it. I have no reason to believe that he's not going to play. Walter Nolan also was a little banged up against Georgia Southern. I have no reason not to believe that he's going to play. Again, maybe some precautionary stuff there, but they're a little nicked up. It's football. It's a physical game. Everybody gets nicked up at some point. Is Dottery back available? I assume so, but, you know, is he? And then the offensive line, they've had some guys get hurt and some guys, particularly one, played against Wake Forest, did not against Georgia Southern. They've kind of a banged up football team right now. And so who is available and how much can they give you and how close are they to 100%? That's the free space. Move that aside. What I am watching closest in this game is the Ole Miss offensive line versus the Kentucky defensive line, both in pass protection, because obviously that's important, but can Ole Miss run the football against this defensive front? Are they going to be able to have success on early downs or just at any point running the football effectively, making Kentucky respect that part of Ole Miss's game? Because the Ole Miss offensive line, it's been, you know, they've been banged up. They've been moving guys around and working personnel and all that stuff. Kiffin talked about yesterday in his press conference that, you know, they're getting healthier there and the depth is a good thing because they want to play a lot of guys there. But how effective is it actually? We spent all offseason talking about the offensive line, and if Ole Miss is going to go from good to great, they have to be better up front on the offensive line. So here's your test. Here's your opportunity. You have not only an SEC defense, but one that has NFL-caliber players on it, especially in the front. I'm watching closely early in this game. Can Ole Miss get push? Can they run the football? I think to this point they have looked better in pass protection than they have in run blocking. So obviously you have to watch both pass pro and run blocking, but that's what I am most excited to learn about this Ole Miss team is, are they equipped on the offensive line to run the football against a quality defensive front like the one that Kentucky is going to present to them? If that answer is yes, Ole Miss is winning this game comfortably. Frankly, if that answer is no, I still think Ole Miss is going to win this game. The offensive firepower is something that I don't think Kentucky can match. Now, they have a couple of good backs. They're going to try to run the football. Luckily for Ole Miss, it's strength on strength. So Kentucky's going to try to run the football on Ole Miss. Ole Miss has an exceptional run defense to this point. Vandergriff has not shown the ability, even with what I think are talented wide receivers, to exploit a possible weakness in a defensive secondary. So I really like this defense versus matchup or offense matchup for Ole Miss. I like what they have on the defensive line. If everybody's healthy and available, I think that they're going to be able to stop the run, and they're going to be able to really stack the box and try to force Vandergriff to beat them. And to this point, he has not shown the ability that he can do that. For context, and I know Kentucky conducts offense a little bit differently, and this is not totally fair because they have played Georgia, and Ole Miss has certainly not played anybody close to Georgia, but Vandergriff has fewer passing yards on the season than Trey Harris has on his own receiving. So has not been a particularly potent passing offense to this point. Doesn't even complete 60% of his passes. They are the complete and total opposite of explosive on offense to this point. So good on good, and I think that favors Ole Miss some, but we'll see. It's the first real test. I'm excited to find out. We will be able to learn about their offensive line. We'll know if this Ole Miss run defense is as good as we think. And I think it's going to be a great atmosphere and a really fun football game to watch. We will get to sit here on Sunday or on Saturday afternoon in the post game without qualifiers. No more qualifiers. Kentucky is good. They can beat Ole Miss on the right day. And this is the first time this season that you've been able to say that. So looking forward to it. We'll get to your comments. I know that you guys are going to want to talk about Hugh Freeze, I'm sure. And then also a soundbite that is floating around for the next 20 minutes or so. We'll talk about this game and whatever else is on your mind after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. They started in Jackson. decades ago, but they service the entire state of Mississippi. So if you need office technology and your business is located in this state, absms.com is the website. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority with 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard. They make you their priority every day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop, so all you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Let's get to the comments now and talk some football. Why not? Don't be too late. I was not late at all, not even a second late. It was really a never-ending cycle of narcissism from our boy, the Reverend, on the plains. Put the average fan aside, because yes, that would anger me if I was an average fan. And if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, you're living under a rock, in which I admire you, because I wish that I was not as connected as you guys are. But Hugh Freeze on the coach's show, on the Auburn coach's show, said that when he was talking about Arkansas, he said, no offense whatsoever at all to Arkansas or Cal. I love Sam Pittman. I hope he wins the rest of his games. But I'm telling you, the hard truth is we play them 9 more times. We beat them 9 times. Which is just, it's such a loser thing to say for a fan, let alone the coach of the program in year 2. Talking about an Arkansas team that entered the season picked at the bottom of the SEC with the coach on the flaming hot seat and a roster that has a ton of holes on it, and you're playing them at home. But so that should enrage every Auburn fan. Some are still defending it, but that should enrage every Auburn fan. But I couldn't help but think about the mega donor, the person that either helped or their donations indirectly helped pay the buyouts of Gus Malzahn, and then you turn around and do it with Brian Harsin, right? So you give all this money, 6 or 7 figures or 8 figures worth of money over the years to Auburn, and in part they use that money to buy out Gus Malzahn. A couple years later, you buy out Brian Harsin, and with the promise that, you know, Lane Kiffin's coming. He ultimately, everybody at Auburn thinks Lane Kiffin's coming. He ultimately tells them no. They settle on Hugh Freeze. And so what then you're told is, hey, help me pay for the buyout. Now these mega donors are having to buy the players as well. So they're giving their money to buyouts after 2 years to hire Hugh Freeze to buy his players. And then you hear him repeatedly throw them under the bus and then do this. We would beat them 9 times out of 10, but just this one time we didn't stuff. I would be enraged beyond measure if I was the person that was truly like paying for all of this when you're getting results that are absolutely no better than Brian Harsin's in the portal era, whereby year 2, you should have better players and they don't. The reactions to that were absolutely hilarious, but that is something that somebody says when they are a loser. And I don't mean, you know, that kind of loser. I mean, they're losing football games, which I guess both can apply. But that's the kind of stuff you say when you're losing it, when you're losing grip. So many more losses are coming for them, and this is just so apparent. And I cannot imagine being a player and wanting to sign up for that. What's the rushes to pass attempts ratio? Let me tell you. It is more runs than passes for sure to this point. Ole Miss has thrown 143 passes. 119 of those are Jackson Dart. 21 of those are Austin Simmons. So 143 pass attempts and 160 rush attempts. Henry Parrish getting 57, Jones having 30. And everybody had this on their bingo card. Jackson third, Ulysses Bentley fourth, and Dominic Thomas
fifth for Ole Miss in carries. Rashad Amos has 8 carries for Ole Miss so far this year. Deuce Knight, you are a rebel. Ah, man. Yeah, that, I mean, Lane Kiffin was, I wish I had it here to play for you. I guess that's a mistake on my part. But yeah, Lane Kiffin was speaking directly about Hugh Freeze in his press conference where he brought up Matt Corral throwing 6 interceptions. And the beauty of what he did was it was a subtle, not so subtle, direct shot at Hugh Freeze, who clearly okay, we're good. There was a quick surge. There was a quick power surge, but we're good. It didn't cut off completely. It just surged, and so we're back, right? You guys can hear me? Yes, we're good. Wow. I thought we lost power, but that's okay. Where was I? Oh, on the Kiffin thing. That was clear. There's clearly bad blood between the two of them. So he was taking a direct shot at Hugh Freeze, clearly throwing his quarterbacks under the bus. And also what he said was true. So it's not like he just manufactured something to take a shot at Hugh Freeze. He was asked about Jackson Dart and his relationship with Jackson Dart and talked about trust because the two of them have trust. He and Matt Corral had trust, and it was after that game. Remember, there were a lot of people when Matt Corral threw those 6 interceptions calling for Plumlee to start, and it got, the discourse was kind of ugly around here, and Lane Kiffin stuck with Matt Corral. Like, that actually happened. So not only did he get to take a free shot at somebody he clearly does not respect in any way, but he also said something that was objectively true. That was the beauty of that, so... I'm sure you saw the Ole Miss fans up in arms about Matt Jones of Kentucky Sports Radio trying to talk down to the Ole Miss crowd. I guess he doesn't remember 2022. Yeah, I saw that. And my take on it's going to be a little bit different than all of yours. I think two things can be true at once. Vaught-Hemingway Stadium historically has not been a difficult place to play. Whether it be in part because the teams weren't very good or the crowd wasn't as into it. I've over the years thought that Ole Miss's crowd like participation could have been much better. That has not been the case over the last couple of years for the big games, right? Like, you guys don't go nuts for the Georgia Southern or Furman games, because why would you? But for the games that have mattered, the crowds at Vaught-Hemingway haven't been just full. They've been really engaged. So that's kind of a new thing. Like, the Vaught does not have a good long-term reputation of being a difficult place to play. However, it is now. And I would, if I were Ole Miss, I would take that clip and use it, and I would put it in hype videos, and I would send it to the students, like in a mass student email. I would make sure everybody hears that. I would. Also, if you're listening to somebody, a group of people, saying the word "we" when discussing a team they cover, as big of a platform as they built and as successful as they are, it is, you know, at that moment, it is not to be taken seriously. So I would use it, but the we, you're not on the team. I think that is a mark of something that you should tune out. Generally speaking, in this case, I would use it. And also, historically, they're not wrong. Now they're wrong. Historically, they're not wrong. Kentucky hasn't won an Ole Miss since 1978. My dad was 15. Ole Miss will cover by 100. Perkins has 3 sacks. I don't know if Kentucky is going to put themselves in situations to allow that kind of production from the defensive line. I mean, I guess if they're playing from behind, they're going to have to. I guess in that scenario, they could. But I suspect Kentucky's strategy in this game is going to be to shorten the game by making it go by. They're going to slow the game down to make it go by fast, meaning that I think that they're going to bleed a lot of play clock. I think that they're going to run the football, and they're going to try to limit Ole Miss's possessions as much as possible. They have a really quality defense, and I think they're going to try to lean on that and bait Ole Miss into mistakes and reduce the number of possessions, putting pressure on this Ole Miss offense. That's the only way I think Kentucky is going to try to play this game and try to win this game is that way. Finally, SEC week. Excited to see the Rebels continue their dominance in the league. Questions will now begin to be answered. I think the staff and players are geeked up for this game. It felt like a four-week buildup just to have some sort of challenge. Absolutely. Absolutely. I just, even though it's at 11 a.m., I suspect the crowd's going to be unbelievable, that the stadium record's going to get broken again this weekend. Just impact it. It is up to the fans to prove what those guys said to be wrong. Am I kin to the Borky who was the former chancellor? I did not know that there was a Borky former chancellor. Hold on. I learned right after I started on the radio show that there is some extended, like way extended family of mine that lives in Mississippi. It was the coolest thing. So I got an email one day after the show. I'm like 24. This is a long time ago. And as I understood it, I had no family whatsoever, no ties to Mississippi at all. Everybody was, all my extended family, they came to Pennsylvania when they immigrated to the United States. And that's kind of where that happened. And then obviously moved south and grew up in South Carolina, all that. But they, like, past extended family was all up there. And then one day I got an email after the radio show, like right after I started. And it was a guy in Grenada who said that his mom's maiden name or his grandmother's maiden name was Borky. And he was like, are we related? And I was like, I have no idea. And he sent me like this family tree. And sure enough, he was a very, very, very distant relative. But I had a very distant relative here in Grenada, Mississippi. So I thought, that was just unbelievably cool. So, okay, I'm trying to find, let's see, Ole Miss Chancellors. I'm back in the 1800s. Let's see, Powers. There was an Alfred Benjamin Butts mixed in there. Let's see. Are you sure that there was a Borky that was Chancellor at Ole Miss? Because I'm not seeing one here. It's Holmes, Longstreet, Bernard, Waddle, Stewart, Mays, Fulton, Kincannon, Powers, Hume, Powers again, Hume again. They just traded the job for a little while. Butts, Williams, Fortune, Turner, Kayat, Jones, Vitter. God bless the Jeffrey Vitter era. And Boyce, I don't think there was a Borky that was the chancellor at Ole Miss. Not according to Wikipedia. Anyway. I was at the Kentucky game in 22. Crowd was awesome. That crowd Saturday will be game-changing. What does it tell you if Ole Miss wins something like 40-3? Oh, then they're a national championship contender. If they beat this Kentucky team that played Georgia as well as they did, 40-3, something like that, it's a national championship contending team. I still don't think we know that yet. It's like we think a lot of things about this team, but we don't know until they're tested, and now they're getting tested. A little different circumstances, but similar to 22 when they played no one, then hosted a top 10 Kentucky team. That Kentucky team had their season broken in Oxford that day. Yes, this is a much different version of Kentucky, but absolutely. Question on recruiting. Do I think it will take off if they make it far in the playoffs? What does it mean when people say Lane can't recruit? If he can portal, then they have the money to recruit, or are you wrong? When people say Lane can't recruit, they're not. That's a little disingenuous. I think that there is a choice being made about high school recruiting. I don't think that. I think that Lane Kiffin has found that the way that they roster build currently fits his desires more. Let's put it that way. Hiring Pete Golding has helped in their high school recruiting, but it's not like they've ever been bad under Kiffin anyway. They're not signing as big of classes in the high school ranks. And I mean, portal recruiting still is recruiting. It still is. You still have to sell yourself. You have to be attractive to these guys. And as always, they're not all one-year rentals. Like Princely and Nolan are one-year rentals, but their quarterback's a three-year starter. Their best wide receiver is a multi-year starter. So I think people truly mischaracterize their roster building strategy. It's not that they don't only sign one-year rentals in the portal. They're not constantly rebuilding their roster. In fact, this team looks the way it is because they did not have to rebuild this roster. It's a kind of a false narrative framed by people that aren't paying close enough attention or just kind of have this idea and just want to run with it for some reason. But Ole Miss is not, quote unquote, dependent on the portal every year. Look at what they all return. That's the whole reason why this team is as good as it appears to be, is because they didn't have to just completely and totally rebuild the roster every year. That's not a thing that they have to do. Could they do better in high school recruiting? Yes, they could. I think that in part Lane Kiffin makes a choice not to be. And so far it's working. So that VIP pass they're doing with the student section looks like a scam. $150 for expedited entry and some concession deals for just this game. Give me a break. So I think it's genius, and here's why. Because if you get even just 100 students to do it, that's just free money for the collective. They don't have to do anything special. There's no infrastructure. That their cost is basically nothing. And so what happens if you have 1,000 students do it for Kentucky and then every SEC home game from here on out? I mean, that they have to, and everybody has to get creative with how they raise funds. I mean, so they've got 4 SEC games, right? Kentucky, Oklahoma, Georgia, and Mississippi State. If they get just 1,000 students, just 1,000 students to do this for each game, that's $600,000 raised for the collective. And maybe they don't get 1,000 students per game to do it. Maybe they only get 500. But if they get 500, that's $300,000 for the collective. So, yeah, it kind of feels like a scam. But when these students have mommy and daddy's unlimited credit card, just, hey, run it, because I don't want to wait in line in the student section. It's free money. Brian, thank you for the super chat, man. I appreciate you very, very much. They are completely unnecessary, but thank you for it anyway. You say about time to stand behind your Rebel Report praise. Thank you. Thank you, man. Really, really appreciate that. What uniforms do we think they're wearing to contrast Kentucky and the stripe out? You'll go with the Sugar Bowl white helmet, powder jersey, white pants. Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Do they go, Sugar Bowl helmet, red top, white pants? Whoa. Anyway. Is it true they'll only get 1 Realtree pattern helmets per year? Yes. I think that it kind of has to be that way. The amount of 31-10, 28-10, 34-13 you've heard seems to be the consensus. You take the under. All of those would be really good, just quality results that we would have nothing but positive to say about it. I really like this Kentucky defense. I think that they're going to, if people think that Ole Miss is going to score every single possession in this game, you got another thing coming. I mean, Kentucky is good on that side of the ball. They're tough. They will be good there. They will be athletic up front. So if we're talking after the game about a 34-13 win, that's a really good day. It's a really good day if that's what we're talking about. Will this be the first game where they give up a legitimate touchdown? Yeah, technically gave up their first last week, but it came on a trick play. I would bet on that. Freeze just makes it so easy to rip him. You're not big on Oklahoma at all, but you're picking them to win this weekend. Super ugly game that's going to be. Yeah, I have no idea how Auburn's going to score against this Oklahoma defense. Only problem is Oklahoma starting a true freshman for the first time in his life in a sold-out Jordan Hare. Now, I imagine there's going to be a ton of Sooners there, just like there's going to be a ton in Oxford as well for that game. I mean, a lot, like a whole lot. Again, them doing the powder blue out for Oklahoma is stupid because they're going to stand out like a sore thumb and there's going to be a lot of them, but whatever. No, I don't expect either team's going to score a whole lot. 14 to 10 or something like that, like a slog, just like the Arkansas game was. What Free said was so disrespectful to Sam Pittman and Arkansas. But he started with, I hope they win every game, but we would beat them 9 times. Joke. He's already trying to save Freeze. Freeze is already trying to save Freeze. Absolutely. Do I think Tulane, Memphis, and USF made a mistake not joining the Pac-12, or do I think that they are playing the long game? I think they're playing the long game. I think they're playing the long game. Yeah, I do. And also, the money wasn't there. Like, the reason you make a move to a different conference is financial. And it wasn't – they have no idea what the Pac-12's TV deal is even going to be yet. They were only given, like, a hypothetical or a proposal. And so bird in the hand beats two in the bush every time. I thought initially it would be a no-brainer, but when you talk about money and how there's not enough, then you can't make that jump until you know. You heard Neil today on McCrady and Siski that say he sourced that if Oklahoma loses, it's going to get real squirrely over there. Ugly situation they have, especially with Arnold basically being broken. I mean, how could it not be, right? They moved to the SEC, and it's a very proud program. Now, I don't think their success is exactly – I think it's in part aided by that they were in a bad conference for so long, but still, that is a very proud program. And but what's crazy is like they won 10 games last year. But if they start sacking losses that we think they do, and they roll out another 6-7 or so after they transition to the SEC, they might want to do that. That's tough, though. I wonder if that job is going to be looked at a little bit differently. It's going to be harder to hire coaches than it's ever been moving forward. So somebody obviously would take that job, but they wouldn't have, I don't think, like this robust candidate list. In the same way, Florida is not going to have this robust candidate list when that time comes the way people think that they will. I don't know. I mean, it's a great job, but do y'all hear that? He didn't wake up either. Good. But I'm not in love with, if I were a Florida or an Oklahoma fan making a change right now, I don't think that I would love what's out there. But we'll see. I have no idea who the big dog donor is at Auburn. I have no idea right now, but I know that they should be mad about what they heard last night. We're a long time now from the lock the gates and pick a fight or 2012 Egg Bowl speech. No kidding. Game has changed a lot in 10 years. Your guess is Ole Miss 30, Kentucky 13. Would definitely take the under on Auburn, Oklahoma. Your guess is 20-10 Oklahoma, so could still get a couple of defensive special teams and hit the under. It'll be interesting to watch Kentucky star defensive back guarding Trey Harris and Juice Wells. I voted him first team all SEC. Got to pick your poison on that one. Just tired of the whole narrative of this week. We'll find out how good Ole Miss is. We just need to win each week, block it all out, and keep on putting it all out there. Just win. Ooh. Totally understand like that mindset, but I would be doing a very bad job. Because, you know, I've got, like, this is my job. If I just went on the radio every day and said, just win, it doesn't matter what they look like, no analysis needed. They won, so move on. I would be doing a very terrible job. And same thing on here with this podcast. If I just, you know, hey, just, it doesn't matter how they play as long as they win, who cares, would be a very... And also, frankly, I think when you're talking about this team and analyzing, if you call what I do analysis, well, if you're analyzing this team, you have to look at them differently than what you're used to with Ole Miss teams. If you're holding them to the standard of championship level, just squirting by every week is not it. Like, if I were talking about Missouri, if I covered Missouri, I would be telling people that they haven't been impressive. It does not look like a championship contending team to this point. They've gotten lucky. They got lucky last week. If Vanderbilt had a good kicker, they've lost to Vanderbilt. And the season's not over, but it's over with much more difficult games on the schedule. That's what I would be telling people if I covered Missouri. It's the same thing, you know, kind of the same thing anyway, with baseball. It's when Ole Miss started winning baseball games in the non-conference last year, what did I say? I annoyed some people. It's just like, hey, they got to prove it first. I mean, yes, it's nice that they're beating, you know, these non-conference teams the way they're supposed to, but that you got to see it when it gets real. And of course, it didn't go well when it got real. So, you know, just win and that's all that matters is accurate, but also, you know, we need to hold them to a higher standard than that. Especially from this, from my perspective. Kiffin earned so much respect for you and gave you a lot of perspective when he stayed with Corral after that 6-interception game. It's hard in that moment to keep a level head. I mean, if that 6 is 4, then Ole Miss wins that day too. I need a battery backup for my equipment. Thank you, by the way, for the super chat. I appreciate you. You are you're way too kind. Not necessary, but very much appreciated. A battery backup for my equipment. You're talking about like with this, so if the power goes out, this will still run, but then it'll get really dark. My neighbor has like an auto, a generator that auto kicks on when the power goes out, but there still is like the few seconds in between. Tell me more about that though. I would love to know. Last year's drought really made it difficult to keep power on during storms. I mean, there's just so many gigantic dead trees that you don't know are dead until they, you know, until they fall. So it's been tough sledding in this area for the line, the linemen and those guys trying to keep our power on just because of the volume of dead huge trees around all these power lines. They've been working to try to enhance it all, but there's so many, so many. But anyway, you've been to every game at home since 21 and 22. Kentucky is up there, probably top three in crowd intensity. But I wasn't there that day. It sounded incredible though. The Georgia Southern game broke the attendance record, so just wait until Oklahoma and Georgia. I am curious if they get to 70,000. I'm very curious about that. Is Kentucky going to make a bowl after they lose this weekend? Let's see. So they'd be 2-3, which, by the way, I forget what player it was. I saw a Kentucky player today say that they lost to South Carolina because they didn't take the game seriously, and I thought, you have an SEC game at home and you didn't take it seriously? Okay, Vanderbilt certainly losable at Florida. I know, but it's losable. Auburn at home, losable, but they can also win all of those three games just as easily. At Tennessee, at Texas, and Louisville. So if they're 2-3, I think they're losing at Tennessee and at Texas. The difference between a bowl and not is getting a win over Louisville, Auburn, Florida, and Vanderbilt. Because there's Murray State mixed in there as well. There's a chance that they miss. Ranked the toughest away games now. Has Arkansas moved up? No. that I don't think that they have, only because I think South Carolina has also moved up. So I don't know if Arkansas has jumped South Carolina. Florida's still the easiest road game. I still think Baton Rouge Tiger Stadium with that quarterback is the toughest. Got a kind of a nice scheduling break with South Carolina being in the afternoon instead of at night. It's still going to be nuts regardless, but every stadium is more intimidating at night. So I still think Arkansas is behind South Carolina. And especially because as much as I like what Sam Pittman has done, I do think by the time Ole Miss is in Fayetteville, there's going to be some losses. You know, they've got Tennessee and LSU. Now going to Starkville is going to possibly be a cakewalk for them. But I still think it's in the exact position. It's just that game and South Carolina are now more difficult. Yes, you did see it right, that Vandergriff has fewer passing yards than Trey Harris has receiving yards. Yes. Got your Carolina tickets a few weeks ago for $75 each, top section near the 35-yard line. That same ticket is close to $175 now, expecting a sellout crowd that has it out for Juice Wells. It's going to be insane in Columbia that day, absolutely insane. Some tickets for Kentucky have gone down. Other than the Egg Bowl, this is the only game you can get in with a decently priced ticket. And again, I like I said the other day, I think that's in part because Kentucky's not going to travel well. They gave some of their allotment back to Ole Miss. So you don't have high demand being created from people like Oklahoma's going to drive up the cost of the game because there's a lot of Oklahoma people coming to Oxford. Not the case for Kentucky. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate you, man. You think the folks saying success will never be sustained at Ole Miss aren't thinking long term? If we have consecutive great teams, that will change. That's how every blue blood came to be. Exactly. Clemson, people didn't think Clemson and Dabo would sustain success. And look at them. Now their down seasons are winning 10 games. So, and what Ole Miss has to do is they have to prove it. A Peach Bowl is not enough proof. Ole Miss has elevated itself into like the second tier of college football, but they have to do it again. They have to take another step forward to start really getting that, okay, this is a upper tier program kind of respect. They haven't won that game yet. They have elevated themselves. There's no doubt about it, but there's still one more step to take. But I do think that they can sustain it. Just to get everybody else to believe that they have to go win something more than a Peach Bowl. Mainstream college football media can't seem to wrap their heads around the fact that outside of Bama and Georgia, the most winning SEC program in the last 5 years is Ole Miss. They're not supposed to win, I guess. People don't pay attention. 38-13 Rebs. Kentucky won't be able to score. Rebs pull away late. I agree. I think that their lack of explosiveness will be the difference. Is Jared Ivey going to be a go Saturday? We'll find out tomorrow. We will find, well, sort of. So they do have to give, and no, Lane Kiffin can't be goofy and list everybody as questionable on the injury report. They will get fined six figures for inaccurate or unserious injury reports. Everybody else in the SEC has done a good job with them so far. I don't think Lane Kiffin's willing to part with $100,000 if he lists everybody as questionable. So I think you're going to get, you know, we'll get some kind of answer. He's probably going to be listed as questionable, but I don't know for sure. But we will know before the game kicks off if he will play, because you have to report that now. Oklahoma will be going after Heupel. You know, maybe they can sway him with the alma mater thing, but he currently has a better job. You do wish there was some piping on the pants. Counterpoint, go look at the white pants with the red stripes that they wore in the Freeze era. Those were kind of ugly. piping's different than stripes, so you might be thinking of something else, but I don't think those worked very well. If he gets a chance to cover the spread, he'll take it. The man knows the number. Absolutely, he knows the number. He absolutely knows that he's 4-0 against the spread this year, 100%. I don't think he's gambling, but I think he knows because, of course, he does. He's online. When do we do the score predictions? Thursday, we will do score predictions. And thank you again, my friend. I appreciate you for the super chat. Thank you. Thank you very much. Not Elvis. I didn't mean to do that. If Ole Miss scores 52 on Kentucky, you're placing a future on them to make the SEC championship. I would place a future on them to win the national championship because the value, just the value of the bet. If they score 52 points on this Kentucky team, then go ahead and place a bet on the national championship because you could get them at, as Scott says, plus 1,600. Good. Yeah, that's great value. They can lose to Vandy. Pavi is a dude. He's awesome. I cannot believe Vanderbilt lost both of those games. They should be undefeated right now. Instead, they're 2-2. That's Vanderbilt. You've taken Florida out of the road game equation. They have three major hurdles to get over. We'll know where this team will be after the Georgia game. Final two games should be on the easy side. Final two games should be a walkthrough. Florida will be done by then. Absolutely done. Although they'll be yelling for Kiffin's name in the stadium. Do you see, by the way, that he has started trolling Florida fans a little bit on Twitter? Go look at his, he's been doing that. And State is just, that they're so bad to the point where they can't beat Ole Miss. I think they're that bad. Like, there's not even any given Sunday element to that right now. We could be talking about an SEC title appearance or seeding for the final 3 weeks after the Georgia game. If they handle their business, I agree. You have a sneaky suspicion that Kiffin tries to get Juice a touchdown early in the South Carolina game, assuming he's healthy. I'd be willing to bet that the game plan is centered around getting Juice the football as much as humanly possible. In part because he's one hell of a football player, but I do think that they are going to be conscious about getting him the ball because of the sheer evil that has been said about directed to him through all of this. The trips to Columbia and Baton Rouge are the season. No offense to Kentucky. I hear you on that. Interesting. You expect Kentucky to score first and fast, the first SEC game outside of a Vandy type every year under Kiffin. The opponent throws the first punch. I am curious to see if Kentucky is capable of scoring fast. Oh, you won't get me in an uncomfortable situation at all by asking this. Why does the Super Talk YouTube page overwhelmingly post State vids as opposed to Ole Miss? It's like 3-1. Well, every episode of Thunder and Lightning is uploaded on there. And Hey Dad does them during the season, if they have a game, 6 days a week. So there's just more of those that get put there. And quite frankly, they have, and so I post the show cuts on there. There has been more interesting, like YouTube-worthy Mississippi State conversations because of how bad they've been. Also, it'll balance out. It always does. I keep track of it all, but that is in part because every episode of Thunder and Lightning gets uploaded there, just like every episode of this gets uploaded there. They do more. They're contracted to do them there. So that's part of it. Tennessee is one of the top five jobs in college football. I disagree there. It's a very, very, very good job. I do not think it's top five. Bentley as the first touchdown scorer for plus 1,200. Why not? Think we could be one more year away from Tennessee being a serious threat to win a championship. Yeah, I think with another year, You know, Tennessee got kind of lucky with Nico being kind of reckless with the ball and Norman. I think that his youth is going to cost them here at some point in the near future. But he will end up being good, and yeah, I think that that's more likely. Have you ever watched the show House? Yes, I loved it. I loved it. Hugh Lowry was great. Free agency quarterback has started to come up. Saw an article from Friedman about it. Talked about Arnold from Oklahoma and the Auburn quarterbacks getting into the portal. Interested in your thoughts. Yeah, because State fans are wondering if they can, if Lebby can get Jackson Arnold to go to Starkville. And my response today on the show was, why? I mean, I know he was a former five-star, but what has he showed you at this point that he can come to Starkville and help with the rebuild? That dude needs a lot of work. A lot of work. It's certainly interesting. I mean, if I were every Auburn quarterback, I would hit the portal too. I mean, why would you want to play with Hugh Freeze right now? But anyway, I appreciate that, Edward. I think that the every time just kind of going back and forth with the live audience is a little niche here that I've been able to carve out, I think. Yes, what Kiffin has done has elevated the Ole Miss job as a whole, absolutely. Brandon, be prepared. You have front row end zone seats in South Carolina. Your first time ever sitting front row end zone. You're excited. Be prepared. It'll be hostile. It'll be very, very hostile. And so, you know, just be prepared for that. Would I bring back the old Ole Miss grays? Absolutely not. No. They were awful in those. I know that uniforms aren't why a team plays good or bad, but they were terrible in those things. Do I still think Golding is the next coach? Yes, I still think Pete Golding is the next coach because I think it's going to be a timing issue because I think Lane Kiffin's next job is in the NFL. And because those don't happen until way late in the cycle, that is why. So that is why. Anyway, I got to run. Thank you guys so much, as always, for being a part. We'll do our two questions. We'll actually get to do two questions for the first time on this podcast this year. We've been doing it on the radio show, but it's been a joke because of the quality of opponent. Now we get to actually do it. We'll do two questions, score predictions, all that good stuff on Thursday. And I'll see you guys then. Thursday, 8 o'clock, Ole Miss, Kentucky. It is a big one in a sold-out Vaught Hemingway. Thank you guys for tuning in. Don't forget to like and subscribe and all that good stuff, and I will see you on Thursday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.